It's the Bob Maxine podcast.
Fuck everybody on this podcast.
Okay, folks, welcome to another edition of the Know My Podcast. My name is Mitch Maxine. If you've got any comments or questions, put them on my Facebook page, my No Mind Podcast Facebook page, or drop me an email at nomindpodcast2021@gmail.com. Thanks, everybody, for coming on. We got not a new guest, but certainly a less regular guest on the podcast tonight. Kyle Seabrook's back. Kyle joined us back when we did the podcast on tournaments. Kyle, how you doing, brother?
Good, good. Happy to join you again.
What's going on, Darren?
No, it's excellent. It was a little rough through most of the day, most of the morning into the day, but I've kind of come around. I've crawled out from underneath my hangover, and I'm happy to be here. And it's not really a lighthearted topic section today, so hopefully we can keep it light, but it is pretty deep, I thought.
Hey, Len, how you doing? Welcome back.
Hey, guys, how are you? And as I said off air, great to meet Kyle. I actually listened to that podcast last year about such a long time ago.
Yeah,
tournament. So I know. It's good to actually talk, and it's good to get another perspective on things because we all get in our comfort zones on this. So nice to get somebody to keep us grounded or give us food for thought. Good to be back.
All right, let's get started, folks. The talking points tonight. The first one was not inspired by Bob. Actually, said something on a past podcast, and it got me to thinking about another quote that's kind of related. But was imparted to me like 10 years ago at a brown belt black belt class. So I want to split them up into two different sections. So let's start off with the first quote. This was spoken by Sensei Monty Guest. Now, Monty Guest is the head of the Kaishin Karate Association in Southern Ontario. I can't imagine there's anybody in Southern Ontario who has not at least heard of Monty Guest. But I was at a black belt workout with him, must have been 2 decades ago. And I was, 2 decades ago, would have put it at, 2003? So I'd been a black belt for 20 years or so at that point. Anyway, he critiqued something about a kata I was doing, and that's fine. I'm at a workout at someone else's dojo, and he critiqued what I was doing. That's perfectly fine. No worries there. And then he said, no matter how experienced a martial art is, every black belt needs a sensei. And I'm curious, let's go around the table once just in terms of your initial thoughts about that comment, what you think it means, does it have any merit, and then we'll get down to the individual talking points later. Lenny, what do you think?
The actual statement that every black belt needs a sensei, I mean, it's a tough one. People, what's their definition of sensei and whatever. I thought long and hard about it, and initially I would say yes, because you have to have somebody that insists on your standards being kept up, or if you're letting them slip, not intentionally, but unbeknownst to yourself. We talked about in previous podcasts about when you're physically going downhill and you're not able to do what you can anymore, and whether you should keep yourself of the grade that you were appointed to. So without some kind of accountability, and again, I suppose it's one way of harking back to that point that every sensei needs, every black belt needs some kind of accountability. I'd have to say I agree. Now, where it gets tricky for me is, well, who do you answer to? And as I've preached so many times, I went out exploring other martial arts to try and keep as much knowledge for myself and to try and keep things sharp. And I suppose that's the best way I can aspire to, because my own sensei, who taught me, is now well into his 60s and is going backwards in terms of chronic injuries that he's had over the years. So I would still answer to him if he showed up and had a look and went, look, this is slipping, that's
yeah,
slipping.
But
absolutely,
just to jump in, Len, like, you don't train under him anymore.
No,
right?
No, and that's one of the later points. No, I don't, actually, no. I don't train under him.
Would it be fair, Lenny, to say, no matter how experienced a martial artist is, every black belt needs a source of accountability
100%.
Instead of a sensei? Is that more how you perceive this?
To me, absolutely, yeah, because, again, we've trashed around in previous podcasts of people who wear black belts who don't hold themselves to the standards that we would hope they would be. And yes, there has to be some sense of accountability too. For a lot of people, it's the pinnacle of their training. We all know people who went to black belt never went any further. So
do you think
to get that far, to get that point, you have to be of an exceptional standard.
I'm torn here because there's so much I want to ask you about what you've just said, and I'm afraid I'm going to forget it if we go to everybody else, but I feel like we should go around the table before I start questioning
everybody. Write it down.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you write it down. Lenny's good at looking it up. Lenny's good at looking it up. Isn't it a fair statement to say, Len, that you just said that everybody that one of the issues is people don't hold themselves accountable to the standards that they should? Aren't the standards that people hold themselves accountable to predicated on the people who hold them to standards earlier in their career? Meaning, yeah. if I'm training under somebody and they hold me to a high standard, it's a natural progression that I will hold myself to that same high standard. But if my instructor was not a good instructor and held me to a lower standard, is it fair for anyone to expect me to hold myself to a higher standard than that which was imparted upon me during my training?
Yeah, you see, and this is where it gets tricky, because sometimes it's only with hindsight and going out and seeing other practitioners that you realize, oh, maybe we weren't what we were supposed to be. I was going to say, sadly, so many people wouldn't, because how many people are going to go out and test themselves against other people around locally, right, internationally, right, whatever? It's a thorn on my side, because I've always advocated there has to be some kind of accountability, but enforcing it is just, it's a killer. And what Monty Guest said is right. Whether you want to put a name Sensei on it, or just a duty of care to uphold the art, is definitely incumbent on us all.
Kyle, what do you think about that statement?
Yeah, I was looking at it, and I'm obviously, like, I'm thinking the word coach comes to mind sometimes, because it depends on, like, some black belts are very active competing and things like that, and I feel like that type of person would always need a coach. They would always need someone in their corner to, you know.
I really want to explore that, because I don't think that's true, but I don't think this is the moment. But I just want to put it up there and put a pin in it. But I'm sorry to interrupt, Kyle. Carry on.
Yeah, no worries. So I was just thinking on, like, two sides, like, where there, you know, there's someone just in their regular everyday training. Like, I was always taught, once you got to black belt and beyond, like, basically your instructor's saying, I trust you in the ability to kind of self-critique yourself. You know, I got my black belt at 16, so I was obviously very, very inexperienced still. So I needed, you know, I still needed a lot of work, a lot of improvement. And, you know, I still find that I still need the improvement and someone to look at what I'm doing, because, you know, yeah, that's just
okay,
personal.
Kyle, so just to explore that a little bit, where do you look for that sense of guidance, that sense of critique?
Well, I guess, I'm pretty far away from everybody, so do I get to regularly make it up, like, just for everyone's context right now, like Sensei Mitch, Sensei Rick, and Sensei John?
I swear to God, if you call me Sensei one more time, I'm kicking you off this podcast. I'm not kidding. Those titles do not exist on this podcast. Oh, for fuck's sakes.
Sensei is a safe word in here.
Sir Maxine.
No, honest to God, Kyle, please leave the titles at the door.
No,
man.
For sure.
Remember, I'm not a regular
on the podcast, so. Yeah, I right now, like, in my dojo where we're at, we do have a few other black belts training, so it's good that we can train together, critique each other. And,
but do you critique each other?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, so, awesome. Like, it may be, like, something simple, like, we'll just be working through a kata together, we'll watch each other do it, sometimes we'll even record, like, and just, like, we'll go through it that way. I think video is a good tool, too, for critiquing yourself and critiquing and finding improvements, too, because we'll do the kata, do some critiquing of each other, and then a couple weeks later, we'll do the kata again, and we'll even video again and kind of look at the side-by-side to make sure, you know, the mistakes are being corrected.
And I don't mean to challenge you, but I'm going to anyway. Yep. Working out with someone, even in that sense of mutual critique, is that really the same thing as having an instructor or a coach watching over you and holding you to account to a certain level of requirement?
Yeah, I would say no. It doesn't make up for that that kind of like regular critiquing, the regular coach, the person you've been with for a long time, knows all your weaknesses and strengths. But it's for, I find if you don't have access to that, it's still good to make sure you are getting some feedback, at least from people you're training with, even if you're at the same level. Would I prefer, obviously, my sensei to be there regularly? For sure. But I do find it's still at least something that you should be doing other than just, you know, kind of being comfortable with where you're at and then not having anyone say, you know what, you're not looking on this one turn in your kata or, you know, what have you.
Just to torture Bob, we're going to go to Darren next. Darren, what do you think about that?
I think that there's so many variables that you'd have to take into consideration, like just with the statement alone. So my first thing was, okay, you've got someone like Monty Guest that's been around forever, let's face it. So who's his sensei? Like who's keeping him in check and who's looking into that? Do you know what I mean? Like it just seems like such an open statement. And the other thing is, like taking into consideration what both Lenny and Kyle said, I agree with Kyle and the whole thing about a coach. So if you're in a competition setting, then your sensei slash coach would be the one that would be holding you accountable, making sure you're improving, honing in on techniques and whatever it is to better yourself for whatever it is you're trying to achieve. Then there's the other aspect where, like at what point are you the sensei that's looking out for all the other black belts? Like how, where does the line stop? If you keep going and you're the sensei that's monitoring other black belts and someone's monitoring you, who's monitoring the person that's monitoring you? Like it has to end somewhere. And then the other thing I was thinking of is that kind of old saying where regardless of whether it's martial arts or acting or sports, whatever it is, there comes a time where that cliche about the teacher has, or the student has now become the teacher, where eventually it's not unknown that you might actually have more knowledge and better skills than the person who taught you, just by virtue of the martial arts expanding the way they have and the evolution of it. Eventually you might actually know more than your sensei. So who are you looking for to hold you accountable when you actually have more knowledge than the person that originally guided you up to that rank? Then it's who are you looking for to keep yourself in check when you've surpassed the person that, you know, guided you up to that thing? And then I like what Kyle was saying about just having other people to work out with. And again, Lenny's saying exploring different arts, that there's always somebody that's better at you than something. And if they, now again, it depends on Monty's version of what he's talking about as a sensei. Is he talking about a coach, just someone to work out with, someone to better your techniques, or someone to mentor you? Do you know what I mean? So there's just so much involved in that statement, really.
Bob, what's your take on this whole every black belt needs a sensei?
First of all, there's the whole issue of your sensei is your parent, your father slash God, and that anything they say you have to not only acknowledge, but take into, like, accept. And that's, first of all, at a certain point, that becomes bullshit. Like, let's all agree on that before we go any further. And secondly, this brings up a personal thing that I have with Mitch. Mitch has a really good habit. He every now and then, like, we run a business together, and he does other stuff on his own. And every now and then, he brings up this thing called a level check, where he calls somebody, usually me or often me, and says, look, I need a level check on this thing that I'm thinking about, and this is what I think about, and what do you think about it, and am I being incorrect in thinking what I'm thinking about that topic? And it's an awesome psychological thing to do. And I admire the hell out of the guy for doing it, because I'm not sure I'm capable of doing it myself. I just go with whatever the fuck I'm thinking, and I don't fucking care. But credit where credit's due, the guy does it, and it works well, and it's awesome in that it's like, never mind. But anyway, I think there ought to be a mechanism like that when it comes to how we think of ourselves and our performance in the martial arts. We must not count on only one person's judgment of our performance. I think that that's crucial, because not only do we have this, outdated like father figure worship thing, but to count on one person's judgment is just wrong to do overall. Overarching, you just must not do that. So,
well, hold on a sec. Let's explore that for a second, because it's absolutely relevant. How many of us grew up with or were weaned on training with an instructor who expected that subservience, who expected that father figure role? I know I know my instructor, and Bob's instructor certainly was like that. Len, was your instructor that kind of instructor who expected virtual subservience?
No, he just expected you to work hard, and his whole philosophy was this stuff was great, but you need to be not artistic, but able to handle yourself, basically. He was all about developing you to be a good self-defense practitioner. If anything ever happened to you, in his buzzword, in the street, you could handle yourself. Like, he didn't even insist on being called sensei. You know, there was no titles in our class at all, whatsoever.
But when he told you to do something on the dojo floor, was there ever any room for discussion or argument?
Jesus, no, because if you didn't, you got smacked.
When you're in my class, you do what I say. When you're not in my class, I'm not God. That's all there is to it, really.
So Bob, sorry, what you mean is when you're in class, that's a perfectly valid perspective, but when you're out of class, it's not.
Right, exactly.
Okay, Kyle, you trained with Mike Chapman, which, I trained around him, like, in the same dojo as him, but he was never my instructor. What are your perceptions of how Mike was that way?
He was a hard ass, which was great, but he wasn't... I don't think he was like my way is like that's it, like that's final, like you can't go and, you know, train in another dojo when you're somewhere else, like it has to be my exact style. So he was very, like, he was a great instructor. He had his faults like everyone else, but I don't think he ever expected that blind loyalty, that like subservience that kind of seems like you're alluding to with some instructors that you see.
It actually does my heart good to hear that. I had a great deal of respect for Mike. I only ever interacted with Mike. And Lenny, sorry, Mike Chapman is a one of the black belts who came up.
I've heard the name. I've heard of him.
Yeah, came up in the Southern Ontario sort of milieu of martial arts, and he started his own club up in Haliburton, which is this little tiny noseblow of a suburb. Gone north of... Exactly. It's way up in the middle of nowhere.
Backfisted my head a bunch of times.
Me too.
Haven't? Yeah, Kyle backfisted your head too.
No. He backfooted my head. It's all foot with that guy.
Anyway, this whole subservience to the instructor perspective, I don't think that's what we're talking about here. And I wanna throw another question out there to everybody. Part of my perception is, when I'm training, my training time is limited, as it is with all of us, because except for Lenny, all of us make our living doing something other than teaching martial arts or training in the martial arts. So my training time is precious. Because of that, it has forced me to be very specific and very self-aware of the things I want to train in. And nothing frustrates me more than when I'm working out and someone comes up to me, and I don't care who they are or what their rank is, and they start blindly critiquing me on stuff I'm doing. Because my perspective is, you know what, you're probably right, but that thing that you're talking about, that's not what I give a shit about right now. I am working on this, and I'm purposely and consciously and completely self-aware about the fact that I am working on this. So I'm wondering how this perspective of personal goals versus what your, whoever that person is or those people in your life who are holding you to account, how does that factor in? Should I just blindly go, yes, and do whatever that person tells me? Or am I absolutely justified in saying, you know what, here are the things I'm working on, and I don't care what you're critiquing about me, because that's not what I'm working on.
It's a perfect reason to have ranks in black belt. Above first degree, above third degree, above fourth degree, you can do this, you can't do that. And that seems like a kind of objective way to draw those lines.
So what, you're saying at a certain rank, I should be subservient to whatever my instructor says, but after the next rank, I have the flexibility and the latitude to ignore what they say in favor of the thing that I think is important.
That seems reasonable.
Give me that again. I'm about to get confused.
I'm wondering, look, we've all agreed, or at least one of the themes that everybody seems to have fed into what they're saying about the topic says there needs to be some level of accountability in terms of your training. You need something or someone to keep you in line. And a lot of what we've talked about has been other people. Other people who look at what you do and say, well, this isn't right, that's not right. You need that feedback to help you focus your training, whether it's from a coach, whether it's from a fellow black belt, whatever. My point is, how does your personal goals fit into that? If I'm at a dojo, and I've gone through this with my head instructor, where I've been in a class, and he's been critiquing me, and I have said, not out loud, but in my head, frankly, you have no idea what I'm thinking about. You have no idea what I am prioritizing as important in my training. And the thing you just critiqued me on, while I'm not going to argue that you're, I'm not saying you're wrong. I probably am doing that wrong. But you know what? I don't care, because all of my attention is focused on this other thing. How do personal goals fit into this notion of having some external source of accountability?
From my point of view, I'm teaching so much that I rarely get the opportunity to have someone critique me, because I'm the head instructor in my club, and the chances for me to be critiqued by people in my own field are slim enough. That being said, I'm constantly watching myself. You know, is flexibility disappearing? Is this technique being done correctly? You know, am I in a position to critique somebody if I'm doing it wrong? And a lot of, you know, as I preached over and over again, why I went exploring so many other styles so much was to make sure that it's refreshing to go back as a beginner, and I suppose me trying other styles and essentially being a beginner in that style makes me push myself harder to make sure that I'm keeping the basics correct, that I'm being critiqued by someone, albeit of a different style or albeit of a different, you know, standard. At least it keeps me grounded in that respect, that I always have this, I'm still a novice in the greater scheme of things. But if I was in a situation like you, where I'm criticised over something that mightn't be of that priority to me at the time, I'd probably be the same vein of thinking as you, 100%.
Am I right in saying that the only forces, use that word, that hold you accountable are when you train in styles other than the one you teach? Is there an external force of accountability in the things that you teach at your dojo? Where's that sense of accountability?
In truth, it's not there. Now, the only thing is merely lifting the phone and saying to people that trained me, come down here and check it out and get them going on, would be 100% doable, and I'd have no problems doing that. And that would be my only avenue to it at the moment, to be honest. I'm guilty of being so busy that I don't have the opportunity to have that little line check, or whatever you want to call it, level check.
At some point, you have to have just faith in yourself and just do what you believe is right to do, and believe and have faith that is correct. Because in a larger sense, nobody's going to absolutely agree with you. And at some point, like I said before, at an arbitrary line drawn at a black belt degree, you have the right to be autonomous in your opinion. And yes, level checks are extremely valuable, but they're just a check. They're not a final pronouncement, if you get what I mean. And what I'm worried about is people who consider their quote-unquote sensei as God. And there are people who do that, and I just caution everybody listening, all 7,000 of them, to watch over that.
Darren, what do you think? You've been awfully quiet last few minutes.
No, I'm just contemplating everything. And again, each time someone says something, it seems to open up more variables as far as I'm concerned. I suppose that...
Could I cut across, Darren, for 1 second?
Yeah.
Sorry for cutting across you, Darren. It just came to mind.
Oh, interrupting, are you?
I asked permission. I gently asked permission.
I'm sorry for cutting across, Darren. No.
Go ahead. Just dawned on me here that, I mean, we're talking about who checks on us. But, I mean, when you think about it, myself and Darren are in our 50s, Mitch and Bob have hit 60. I'm not sure what our age demographic is, Kyle, but do we have people that are still practicing that? I know Mark Bell is one, but I mean, are we in a position now to have practitioners of that level still around to critique us?
And you know what, Lenny, I want to put a pin in that, because that links...
Sorry, Darren.
To a point I wanted to make. Hold on to that thought. Darren, go ahead.
Well, no, that even what Lenny just said is kind of what I said at the start. It's like, where do you draw the line? Like, who is accountable beyond you? And I think the other thing is, it depends on what you want, too. I don't think every black belt needs a sensei. I think if you want to better yourself, then maybe you'll seek someone who is better than you and look for their opinion and their guidance or whatever. But I don't think you need it. There's going to be good instructors, good practitioners, bad practitioners. You don't need anything. It's just how advanced do you want to get? How much do you want to learn? And you just seek out whatever it is that's going to kind of guide you in that direction. And if you don't want to go any further than you are, then you don't need anybody to guide you past that.
Part of the thing is, what constitutes better in your mind? In MMA or judo or point sparring, it's easy. You win tournaments, you're better. And therefore, you take advice from those people. But we don't routinely mess around in those areas. Like we're just in class and we do the stuff that...
Oh, but even something simple as improving my flexibility. There's always new ways to do it, scientifically proven. So if I'm not getting any more flexible, I might seek out someone who's more flexible that studied a better way to do it. And then that's a way of improving yourself. It doesn't have to be winning a tournament. Just something simple that even.
No, but that's cut and dry. That's easy to determine who's better at it than somebody else. What I'm talking about is how do you do your side gig? Who's to say whether your method is better than mine, other than whether it works or it's just the dictates of the style, and that's where it gets all fuzzy.
No, but that's where it's up to the person. In this case, as the topic is, it's just no matter how experienced in martial arts, I was thinking it was a black belt, but I suppose a martial artist. So if you want to explore new ways of doing a sidekick, then you just might see somebody else doing it. It might not be better than yours, but if that intrigues you and you want to learn it, that's the person that's going to teach it to you.
Or who the fuck wants to do a sidekick in a different way just for the sake of doing it in a different way? It's got to be practical in some sense.
Bob. But hang on, Bob. You don't know if it's going to be practical until you try it. So I see lots of potential for people going, you know what? This is how I've been doing this technique for the last 2 decades. I wonder if a different way might be better, and then that might cause you to seek that out. What's wrong with that?
That's a great point, and I understand where you're coming from. It's pretty easy to determine whether a technique is done well the way you were taught or in a different way.
Explain how it's so easy.
I'm sure you can tell me how you were taught to do a sidekick and how you have learned to do it better.
Okay, my point is, better is a very subjective term, because it depends on my purpose. If I'm a point fighter, the only purpose for my sidekick is to get a point. That's it. That's one context.
You're absolutely right.
Another context is, I want to develop a sidekick that is delivered with as much power as my physicality is able to generate. Those are two completely different things. So the definition of better is subjective based on the individual goals of the person.
Yeah, totally agree.
So, Kyle, you've been quiet. What's in your head?
Yeah, just taking everything in because a lot of good points. Like I was just remembering back to what Lenny was saying about being, like, you know, he's the head instructor in his club. It's hard for him to, you know, always have that outside critiquing, and kind of the same thing with me, where I'm up in Ottawa. I'm technically the highest ranked black belt here, so there's so many things you can do. And Darren was saying, like, if you're having something that you really want to see, if it's the best version of it you can do, like the sidekick example, like, why not seek out, like, those, you know, set training with other people? Why not just, you know, go to another dojo, people you've worked out with? In my case, it's the tournament scene. Like, we would be working out with the three or four different clubs we would be doing tournaments with. Why not go to their club and say, you know, I've been doing this way for this amount of time. Can I see how you do it? Try it out and see if it works for me. And, you know, and that's kind of where I see, like, outside training and ability to grow in karate. And for myself, martial arts-wise, I'm in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu now, so I'm kind of at the bottom of that ladder. So, you know, everything's new for me in that area. So, you know, two different sides there in terms of martial arts training.
Oh, so somebody's beating you, Kyle? Somebody's defeating you? Nice. Nice. I just wanted
regularly
to hear that.
Submitted.
That's all.
Yeah.
Bob will sleep better now knowing that.
Yeah.
Okay,
Mitch, you've actually made me rethink this, because at the start I read that and I was thinking, yeah, from my own point of view. But what you've said is, a couple of things you brought up, is where does the higher sensei become accountable? Who's he accountable to? And I just thought back to the night I did my second degree, and I sat in front of a panel of about a dozen guys, and I knew that maybe 10 of them don't really train anymore, and they have the expanding waistlines and more red tips to fit the expanding waistline. And I had run the Dublin City Marathon 2 weeks before, 2 weeks before my second degree. And a guy stood up there that night and he shook his head. Now, this guy was, you needed two belts to go around him. He looks, oh, guys, you're all out of shape. And I was standing in the back of my head going, fuck you, you fat fuck, you can't even get off the chair. sorry.
Fuck you, you fat fuck.
Fuck.
Tell us
what you belt on.
I just want to write somewhere, quote, you fat fuck, unquote.
That was in the back of my head.
By Lenny Stokes.
Yeah,
go ahead, Len.
He's telling me, I've just put in a 2-hour grade. I've fucking, it was hell on earth, and I don't know, guys, you're going to get this, you're all out of shape. And he said reluctantly, there was six of us went over the course of two or three weeks, I think, and he said at the end of it, he was kind of, you know, oh, reluctantly, I'll give this to you. And within 20 seconds of him saying he awarded us our second degree, he turned around, the exact words out of this guy's mouth were, okay, enough of that shit. We're here to award. I almost said the guy's name. I won't. We're here to award such and such with his 8th degree. Now, this guy was nearly on a fucking Zimmer frame. Okay? And I'd say diabetes was his best friend. And, you know, and he has this guy an 8th degree. And a minute previously, he's telling me I'm out of shape and I don't deserve a second degree. So, yes, who are the higher grades accountable to? You've made me rethink this, Mitch, as always. So, yeah.
And, well, see, this is the problem, is you always have that upper echelon of people who train. And all of them at some point, I haven't seen any who haven't, but at some point they go, I'm not going to train anymore. I don't need to train anymore. Blah, 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 blah. And look, I don't want to discount physical issues that people face. I get that. But most of the people in my experience who stop training because they just don't fucking feel like it anymore, and yet still feel entitled enough to judge other people who are training. And this kind of leads me into another question that came to my head, not on the talking points. But before I get to that, does anyone else want to comment on what Lenny just said?
I think when you get into the martial arts, especially something like karate, I've never gone up the ranks in other arts, so I don't know what the attitude is in those. But there is that weird kind of mystique hierarchy thing almost like a gentleman's club sort of thing in karate. But like what Kyle said earlier about a coach, like most coaches, they're guiding you because of their mind and their knowledge. They don't have to be in shape to know how, whether you're doing your technique or not. That's why they're coaching. If they were competing, they'd be competing. They're not competing, they're coaching because they have that knowledge. So there is something to that. But I think for whatever reason, in the karate context of this thing, it's what you guys were kind of saying, like that they just feel a sense of entitlement and they feel like they should be guiding you in all this. And it's like, look, you don't know what you're talking about. It depends on who it is. Like there will be karate guys that, for whatever reason, they're either out of age or due to injuries, they're not practicing, but they still have the knowledge to coach and guide you, but only if they're doing it in a sense that they're at the same level as you, but they can see what you're doing and they're coaching you. If they're doing that hierarchy thing where it's like, you need a sensei, that's bullshit.
That's exactly right.
Just to leverage off what Darren said, sorry, Bob, just to jump in for a sec. Anytime I go to critique a black belt, with very few exceptions, my first question to them is, what are you concentrating on? Like, what's your focus? Because if I see someone doing something, a black belt, who's doing something that in my head I perceive as that doesn't seem quite right to me, my first thought is, what are the things that you consider important? Because if what they consider important has nothing to do with the critique that I had in my head, I'm not going to say anything to them. Because I don't know what your thing is. Like, I'm not going to critique you on something that, because I figure every black belt is self-aware enough to understand not only what they're trying to achieve, but the best way forward to achieve that. So if I see a black belt doing something that I think is wrong or incorrect, and I say, you know what, tell me about your goals. Like, what exactly is the focus of your training? And if I see a problem with their sidekick, but they say, you know what, I'm really concentrating right now on movement, on forward movement. When I fight, I find I'm too slow and I'm too lethargic. I want to learn to move faster. Then in my head, I go, you know what? Maybe your sidekick isn't what it should be because you're not really working on that. You're working on your movement and you'll get to the sidekick later. So I eliminate that critique from my head. And I think most instructors, most senseis would be well advised to do the same thing. I have been subjected to black belts critiquing me since I've been like a Sandan without even taking a moment to think, you know what? Maybe what this guy is working on or thinking about or trying to improve has nothing to do with what I'm going to critique them on. And that, I think that's a huge failing.
That's an awesome comment. And part of the problem is how do you speak up to these higher ranks and say, look, I'm working on this other thing. So excuse me if I ignore your
shit.
Right.
Diplomatically, of course.
Exactly, yeah. Diplomatically ignore your shit.
But anyway, yeah. Wow.
Okay, I want to ask one more question, because, look, we've been at this for almost an hour, and it's time for a break. But I do want to get your guys' perspective on one more question about this. And it's kind of related, kind of not. We've all seen black belts, and our senseis specifically, and I can only speak to Bob, Darren, and I don't know about Kyle, because Kyle, you came up predominantly under Chapman. And Lenny, yeah. I got no fucking idea where you came from. But we've all had the experience of performing well at a tournament and having our head instructor be a little puff-chested about our performance. Is that a fair statement? That we've seen our instructors, on some level, take some credit for the successes that we've had as martial artists. Is that a fair statement?
I'll confess that I haven't actually seen that. I'll confess. I'll just say that, no, not for me.
Okay, Darren?
I think that's natural. Like, I've coached people before, and when they win, I think you tend to take a sense of pride that, no, obviously they're the ones that did it, but that they enlisted you as a coach because they respected your input and everything. And if they win, I think you're allowed to take a bit of satisfaction from that. Saying,
okay, God, this might be a level set that I wasn't even expecting, so this might be actually good for me. What I'm curious about is, I've seen lots of examples of black belts taking credit for their students. Not credit, not like I, blah, 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 but at least feeling a sense of pride. But how many of those same instructors feel a sense of responsibility when their students don't do well?
I would. Oh, I would actually be, I think the same emotion would go the reverse, and I'd be thinking, fuck, what did I do wrong? How come
see,
I couldn't have gotten over that little...
Who the hell does that? Who the hell does that?
I would.
I would too.
Me too. No, I've been on both sides of the coin. You know, I've been the, you know, I still compete, but at the same time, I've had students go into tournaments. We did a provincial, one of those provincial karate tournaments that they hold in Southern Ontario. I had two students with me when we were down. It was a tournament in Brampton, and they one entered. And unfortunately lost all his fights, and then another one won two, lost one, and did very good. So I had both sides, because I was like the coach on the side, where you're like, okay, maybe I didn't work hard enough with this one guy, like, and then this other one's been, we've been working really on this thing, so maybe I should take the successes I had with this one student and try to replicate, you know. So I've been on both sides, where, you know, you do feel that pride, but also you do feel the responsibility when, you know, the student... Not that it's justified, you know, it may be something completely on their end and nothing you did wrong, but, you know, it's inevitable, I guess.
The thing is, I don't think it's morally right to take credit for victories and not take responsibility for failures. I think you have to take
100%.
It's hand in hand. If you're going to take one, you have to take the other.
That's an awesome point. In thinking about it, it's so tempting to take credit for the successes and ignore the failures. That's a great point.
I think maybe I'm naive in thinking that I just assumed that all instructors felt that way.
Kavanagh has a great expression that we win or we learn. You don't if you don't win, you have to critique a pup. You have to turn around and say, well, what went wrong here? And what can we learn?
Oh, but wait, Len, hang on a sec. It's very easy for instructors to go, oh, you won, look how good I did. Oh, you lost, look how bad you did.
Yeah.
And that's different. What I'm saying is, as an instructor, you want to take some credit for the win, great, but you better be willing to take accountability for the loss, too.
100%.
You know what I mean?
So hard to do.
But so important, I think, not only for the health, the mental health of student, but for the progression of the instructor as well. How could you not take responsibility for the other if you're taking responsibility?
Let me count the ways.
All right, guys, look, it's been over an hour. Let's take a break. We'll be back, folks. Okay, folks, we're back from the break. The second question I want to tackle is, and Bob made this comment on a past podcast, and he said it sarcastically, and it actually sparked something in my head, and I really want to explore this. And the comment Bob made was, the only rank that matters is the rank that's in your mind. Now, does that comment have merit? Meaning, does your perception of your own rank have sway over your the perception that other people have of you? Is your internal perspective more important than an external perspective of you, your rank, and your ability? Anybody want to go?
I think the important part of this aspect, and that my sentiment at the start was, I think it does matter in the sense that if you're a humble person and you don't realize your ability, I think it is important that other people recognize that, and especially if you're an instructor. And the fact is, if you're just training, it doesn't matter. The rank might not matter to you. You're just training. You're trying to get better. That's it. But if you're in the role of an instructor, it is important what the rank is perceived by those that are seeking your instruction. So with regard to that particular statement, I think it does matter what other people think. That's kind of okay. my initial statement.
And again, Darren, I get that. But if I am a member of a club and I am doing what I do with the club, I'm working out, I'm training, I'm teaching when I'm asked to teach, blah, blah, blah. People perceive me as the person I am. So if someone chooses to look at me in the context of an instructor, they're looking at me because they've seen me at the club and they perceive me as the individual that I am. If I start thinking, you know what, this person looks at me as an instructor, so I better present a better face, I better present a better perspective to these students because they're looking at me that way.
Do you not think that's important, though? Do you not think that's important as a role model and as an instructor to hold yourself to a certain level of accountability?
I think it's important that I hold myself to the highest level of accountability and whatever anyone else... Right, regardless of whether I'm teaching.
I can buy that.
I hold myself to the highest level of accountability, and how other people perceive that, that's up to them and it's out of my control, and it almost hurts my head to have to worry about that. As long as what we talked about a little bit on the first half of the podcast, self-awareness. If I'm aware of who I am and what I'm doing and I'm working out as hard as I can and the way I think I should, everything else falls by the wayside. It doesn't matter.
Another argument to that. Now, is this your own club or a club that you're teaching at or somebody else's club that you're practicing at? Just on the sole thing that if you're just going through not giving a shit what anybody else thinks and it's just if they want to follow you, they can. That's okay if you're just, as I said again, you're just a student. If you're an instructor, there has to be a certain amount. But as you said, look, this is how I teach and this is how I am. So if you choose to follow me, then you're in my club and that's it. What if you go to teach at somebody else's club? Do you think you can have the same attitude or should you hold yourself
because
to a certain...
You can't, sorry, Darren.
Because if you do and you go something and it jeopardizes the other club or the perception that the students in
then,
the club see you, then that's...
Yes. But then it's the responsibility of the instructor of that other club to put me in check. If I'm acting in a way at someone else's club that is not in line with what the head instructor wants to present to his students, it's not my job to fit his framework. It's his job to tell me whether or not I am. And then I have a choice. I can either fit his framework or I can leave that club.
Okay, yeah, I'll buy that.
Hang on. This speaks back to a topic. I'm not sure whether it was heard or whether it was in the first half. But if you're a teacher, you're teaching what you personally want to work on. And if that's not what's best for the students, you as a teacher should not be teaching that. You should be doing... Like, let's say you have a dojo full of orange belts and you want to teach them an orange belt kata, but you don't feel like it. You want to do, you know, your spinning wheel kick. That's not suitable for the crowd that you're in front of. So, of course you won't teach that, right?
Bob makes a good point. I think you're in front of a class... It's your responsibility as an instructor to make sure that what you are teaching is appropriate relative to the class that you're in front of. Kyle, what do you think about this? You teach on a regular basis.
You know, it's very true. Like, I'll have some classes where you have, like, a white belt all the way up to brown belt, and then some classes where you have just all orange belts. So, yeah, no, definitely important. Otherwise, you know, they might not get the most out of that particular class, especially if it's Yeah, go ahead.
If you had a class of orange belts, I don't know the curriculum of your particular club, but let's say you got a class of orange belts. Would you ever teach them wheel kicks, which I would put at more sort of blue-brown level? I don't know where you would put that. But would you ever teach non-class or non-rank appropriate stuff just for the hell of it?
Yeah, no, I actually do. Like, I've even, like, shown white belts, like, you know, we're going to do the basic kicks, like, we'll do front kicks, round kicks on the bag, and then because there are higher rank there, we'll do like a wheel kick part. And I say, you know what, it's good for you to see it and just maybe even give it a try. You're not expected to perform it at any test anytime soon, but if you see it now, by the time you get to that rank, you might have a better understanding. You might be able to understand the body mechanics a little bit better.
Right. So, I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. Lenny, what do you think?
Oh. Now, I'm one of these people. I'm training since the mid-80s, and I'm still at the stage where I doubt my own ability. And so, you know, the initial comment, the rank that matters is the rank in your mind. My rank in my mind is way behind what I'm wearing, you know, on my gi every week. So my self-perception is I'm always, always, always pushing myself to be better. And that can be the smallest thing. And I'm always on the floor thinking, if I'm showing this to a five-year-old kid, it's got to be flawless because I don't want them picking up bad habits early. And so I'm really, really self-conscious of my own ability and my perception of how I perform.
I want to pause here for a second. I want to go through each of us, and I want to ask you honestly, do you feel you earned or deserve the rank you hold? Kyle.
Oof, jeez. Everyone's going to be like, nope. I felt like I've earned, yes. I mean, because I did test for all the degrees, if that's kind of... It's hard, because, I mean, you can say it another way. You're sitting there like, well, you know, I could definitely be 10 times better. But yeah, I'll say as far as time in the art, time in teaching, and graded for each degree, yes.
Darren.
Funny enough, like just with what Kyle just said, I never tested for anything beyond my Shodan. And I've been to Nidan gradings and Sandan gradings, and I'm not sure if I could have went through them. So there is a sense that I don't feel like I earned any other rank because I never had to test for the other ranks. But that doesn't, like, I'm confident in what I teach. I think I have a knowledge there that I could teach. So whether the rank goes with your level of instructional ability, I don't know how to take it. But as far as physical ability, I never properly tested through any means to go to another rank. So I never feel that I overcame anything to make that achievement. So in the sense of what Kyle was just saying, I don't feel I earned any rank, but I feel my knowledge kind of works out that I can hold the rank and not feel like a dickhead. Listen, it's an inter-conflict that I've been dealing with pretty much all my life.
Bob.
I think I've done enough self-examination. Like, physically, yeah, I guess. Like, after a second, that doesn't matter as much. But God damn it, I sincerely believe that I've gone through enough intellectual thought about this shit and the mechanics of the techniques that, yeah, I'll take third.
Lenny?
You see, I have a huge crisis of conscience on two levels because, A, the style that I profess to teach, I'm now at the point I think, am I the only one who teaches the way I teach it because of what I teach, and sometimes I'm embarrassed to say I'm a Kempo practitioner because I'm looking at what's
there. That's an interesting thing. We'll delve into that in another episode, I'm sure.
I'm going, Jesus Christ, why are these people wearing these grades and why do they do what they do? So then I look at my grade and I go, okay, like Darren and like Kyle there and like Bob, I graded up as far as Sandan. Then I'm going, after that, why did you just hand me two promotions when I did nothing?
Yeah.
I can't accept that. I have to get out on the floor and do something to say, yes, you are adequate to pass this standard to achieve this. Otherwise, I don't know. I'm not taking an accolade for just time served.
It's a wonderful thing to meet people who could possibly refuse a grade promotion. It's just wonderful to be in a universe that these people are in. And thank you, Lenny.
I want to throw a perspective out there, and I'd like everybody to speak to this perspective. I've had students at clubs I've trained at come up to me and say, I'm not comfortable with the rank I've been promoted to. I'm not comfortable with how the ranking system works at this club. And my response, and these are all colored belts, okay, not black belts. And my response has always been, if you choose to be a member of a club, there is a certain surrender that you have to offer to the head instructor. If you don't trust your head instructor enough to determine what rank you should be, you should go to another club. So if your head instructor says that you deserve this rank, whether you personally feel it or not, if you're a member of that club, you should accept that rank. Given that, doesn't it sound like if you promoted one of your orange belts to a green belt or one of your green belts to a blue belt, and they said to you, I don't feel comfortable with my own ability to meet the expectation of that rank, how would you react to that? Don't you feel that you owe that same level of deference to whoever it is who's promoting you?
No.
No.
Why not?
Because when you're just starting off, you're a student. When you reach a certain level and you've been around and you see the shit, you can make your own decisions.
Fair enough. Sorry, Darren. God, I'm sorry I cut you off so much, but that brings up an interesting point. If you're willing to say to your instructor, I don't accept the rank you've given me, does that mean that you're going to decide when you deserve to be ranked? Does that mean that you're going to say, I am now ready for fifth, I am now a fifth degree? What are the options here?
Like I said, if you, I'd say at least up to, say, second degree, all through the ranks, you have to rely on who's grading you because you don't know any better. Once you're in a position to grade somebody else, then I think you're in a position where you can decide whether a grade is appropriate or not. And if someone just hands you one, I think you've earned the right to say, I don't think that I've, despite what, say, the person over you thinks, I think you've earned the right to say, I don't think that I've earned that rank or whatever.
Is it not inherent in saying that to say, if someone comes to you, someone in your hierarchy, and they say, Darren Bell, I want to promote you to a fourth degree black belt, and you personally do not think that you've achieved that rank, is that not a complete disrespect to the person who is offering you that rank?
It could be perceived at that. If you just take it on just what you just said there, yes, it appears to be disrespectful. But if you kind of delve deeper into the the thought process, I think if you're being awarded that rank or being considered for it, then it's assumed that you've reached a level that you have an understanding of the art, which gives you the perspective of being able to decide yourself whether you feel you've obtained the rank or not.
Okay, so, but by definition, relative to what you just said, you're the one who should decide when you are promoted.
Yes, I think so. I think if you're seeking rank, I think you could approach your instructor or somebody over you or whatever it is and say, look, I'm actually busting my ass here. Like, I don't know any circumstances where anybody I know would seek a higher rank for what the fuck, other than vanity. But if that's
right,
your shit and you want another exactly rank for whatever reason, and you think you deserve it, you want to take a test for it or whatever, then that's fine. I think you can approach someone and say, look, I'd like to take a test for that, blah, 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 or whatever it is. And then that's fine. But other than that, I don't know. I don't see the point in the whole fucking thing, to be honest with you. You can either do shit or you can't. Whatever letters are beside your name or whatever rank, that's ridiculous.
That's the whole point of the whole fucking thing. This should be at the beginning of the podcast. Is that quote right there? Like, fuck.
The thing is, look, I that's the whole point of this line of questioning. Is this is just a bunch of bullshit? But Kyle, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Hi, Kyle.
But Kyle.
Kyle, fucking bullshit. Yeah,
Kyle, you're. While we're on the topic of bullshit, hey, Kyle. Kyle, you're a Sandan, yeah?
Yep.
How important is your perception of your deserving of that rank relative to other people thinking you're deserving of that rank?
I think it really is very important. I mean, at this stage, I feel like as you're going through the ranks in black belt, I mean, if I think when you get to that stage and someone approaches you, like your instructor, and says, would you like to test for your next degree, that's really going to be where I feel like it's very relevant what, you know, that person thinks. Like, do they feel like they're ready? Do they feel like that's where they want to go?
The point is, Kyle, you're in a position where you're at a club where you are basically the karate head instructor, yes?
Yep.
And you're a third degree black belt. So you have no one in your day-to-day who will look at you and say, Kyle, it's time to test for your fourth degree. So the only circumstance in the current environment in which you train where you would be promoted to a fourth degree is if you sought it out. So Kyle decides to seek that out. And let's say the reason he's decided to seek it out is because he's got a second degree who wants to be promoted to third. But Kyle can't promote him to third because he's only a third, so he has to get his fourth. So Kyle, you come to the Jushin milieu and you say, this is what I'm thinking. One of us comes to you and says, you know what, Kyle? You've been doing it for a long time. You're that good. I'm just going to give you it. You don't have to test for it. I'm just going to give you your fourth degree. What's your reaction?
I mean, I'd be surprised given my age, right? I'm only 34, so like you kind of feel like the expectation.
Fucking kids.
Who let these millennials on this podcast?
Kyle, if whoever you came to said, look, it's irrelevant. I don't think you need to test. Here's your fourth. How would you perceive that?
I would respect it. Like, I mean, because obviously if you're going to those people who you feel they're the ones who are going to be the say of whether you get your next degree or not, you can't then be upset at the response is kind of...
Okay, so are you saying that your internal perspective on your readiness to be promoted would be directly in line with the external perspective on your readiness to be promoted?
I would feel comfortable, like, if I'm at that, I'm not, let's just clear that, like, I'm at that stage where, no, that's not where my headspace is at, but it also depends the rank on the people you're going up to. When I've seen, you know, if you're, it's going to put you at the same rank as someone who's been in the art for 30 or 40 years, me personally, I just wouldn't feel comfortable doing.
Okay, but,
you know,
yes, yeah. Okay, but understand, yep, that to external perspectives, better martial artist equals rank. How important is it that people outside of your own understanding, outside of your self-awareness, how important is it that those people perceive you as a good martial artist? Because good martial artist equals rank.
Yeah. Oh, it's very important. Definitely.
Is it more important than how you perceive yourself?
Oh, it's such a good, like, it's, I'm so on the fence with it because, like, it's very important to me. Obviously, like, how who I perceive to be my seniors in karate, if they think I'm a very good martial artist and say, you've earned your rank, like, I don't see the need for you to test. Fair enough. Like, I mean, I would take that and be comfortable with that answer. I wouldn't then say, like, you know, to hell with it. I feel I'm not ready, so I don't think that's how it should be.
You, by your own admission, you had your black belt at 16. You're now 34, so this isn't new to you. Like you've been at a high level for a good number of years. What, like, I know I'm not mentioning any names and stuff like that, but when you're saying, okay, if that person handed me a rank, I'd accept it. At what point do you not consider that you've been at that level for long enough that maybe you actually have a better insight to your abilities and ranks than the person that you may have mentioned that happens to be a higher rank that could give you the rank? Like, at what point do you go, look, I appreciate the higher rank, but I don't respect your ability
opinion
to give me a higher... Yeah, opinion, yeah. That's what I'm looking for. So it's like if someone, like, I could... For example, when I was training in Vancouver, somebody gave me a rank, and I took it because that's where I was training, but I didn't respect the rank they gave me because I didn't think they were in a position to give me that rank because I didn't feel they had more knowledge than me. or at least not necessarily me, but more knowledge than someone else that I thought would be in a better position to give me a rank, if you know what I mean. So like at some point you have a realization of what your level is, and can someone just come along and say, yeah, I'm going to give you that rank, and you're like, well, who are you? Like, really?
Oh, totally. Yeah, you could have like a there, and again, not mentioning names, there are martial artists, you know, that are much higher rank that I wouldn't, you know, accept and feel comfortable with just because.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking,
Yeah, totally. Whereas like the people I'm approaching to say, you know what, I feel like I want to let's just use that scenario Mitch brought up where I'm like, do you want to test for your fourth degree? Who would you ask? Well, the people I'm going up to, I respect a hell of a lot, and I know. Their ability, and I'm confident that, you know, they have still so much that they could still show me. So that's kind of where my headspace is at, and, you know, yeah, it's such a long question where there's so many, you know, it can go so many routes, right?
I think that's, again, going back to the actual topic of whether it's in your mind or not, I think it's refreshing to hear somebody that's been in it that long, but still at a young age, that can appreciate that sort of thing. And they're not rank hunting, but if that's the way it goes, and you're kind of, everything you just said, like that was refreshing.
Yeah, and not, you know, again, but I feel like I'm still, you know, in my physical prime. I really feel like I could get so much better in some other martial arts. That's why right now doing jiu-jitsu, I'm like, I'm going to do this hard now and focus on this a lot now more than actually my karate right now, because I feel like I can get so much more out of that.
Starting in another martial art when you're like in your 30s is a wonderful thing. It really grounds you. And
It really does.
Yeah, I was trying to say it with as much diplomacy as I could without getting killed.
I know, we all did it, so fuck. You need to do that, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Lenny, what are your thoughts on all this?
You know, it's interesting to see. I had no interaction with Coyle before this evening, and naturally, you know, the curious thing to do was ask Darren, because he's my closest pal here, and, you know, both in martial arts and music and so on, you go, what's this Coyle guy like?
And, oh, God.
No, and you know, immediately, he didn't go for the personality study. He went for your attributes as a martial artist, and you could tell, just from the way Darren spoke, how much he respects you as a martial artist. And the fact that Mitch has you on this, obviously other people's perception of you, Coyle, is very high. And then listening to you speaking, you have this whole humble attitude. So to me, I'm straight away, this guy's a good fucking martial artist. You know.
Well, cheers.
We call a spade a spade. And if any of the lads disagree, please jump in quickly. But no, and it's interesting. The point is, how does your perception rate to what other people think of you? And, you know, they speak so highly of you. And, you know, I can get a vibe here. You know, we all have a bullshit filter, and it's yours doesn't ring on the scale at all.
Yeah.
Whatever's on the mind comes out.
Yeah, yep. And I mean, those guys, I'm sure you'll agree from your own experience and your 18 years, you know, since you've grown to your black belt, those are the guys that you kind of respect the most and whose perceptions and whose opinions you value the most. And even the fact you're saying the people you would go to see if you're going to test, in my mind as well, they're all great practitioners as well. So, I mean, they kind of go hand in glove. And the point I'm trying to make here is I find that humility in martial artists is very much grounded with who they train under and their opinions that they respect and what their perceptions are of them rather than the general perception of them.
You're right, Lenny, and I'm just going to vouch for Kyle. He's a well-grounded guy, except when it comes to his left leg. And that's it. It's been my pleasure to have lost many bouts to him, and he's a great and humble and meek and mild.
Yeah, you can tell that. You know, on the point that you're asking about, Mitch, for me anyway, the perceptions of those I respect as martial artists is more important to me than just the general populace. I mean, I'm in a small town here in the Wicklow Mountains in Ireland. I walk down the street and everybody says, oh, there's Lennon, teaches in the dojo. I could be the worst practitioner in the world, but it carries a perception with it. That opinion doesn't entirely, I'm not saying it doesn't matter to me because it's my business, but it doesn't matter in my perception of my abilities as a martial artist. It's those who I respect, and you know, you came to my club, Mitch, with Jason and Darren, and as much as you were probably coming in, what's this guy all about, I was kind of, oh, shit, I hope I don't make a fool of myself in front of this lot, because you were another fellow black belt, and if Darren was bringing you, you're obviously of a good standard, and I didn't want to let my standards down to a fellow practitioner who I reckon was going to be half decent, and you were, and still are. So, I mean, those who are respected by me in the martial arts world, those are the perspectives that I would hold myself to, not the general populace.
This conversation has really been poignant for me, and I haven't said much in the last little bit. We've talked on past podcasts about my existing rank, and I don't hang any of my certificates on my wall. I have no...
Pride.
I have no pride. I have no regard for the ranks I hold.
Can I interject for a second, Mitch? Sorry. Despite everything I said, I kind of revert back to what Kyle said about if he did want to get another rank and he went to someone like you or whoever else that he was willing to accept that promotion from. Technically, and I'm actually, contradicting myself here, in the sense that I don't give a shit about it, but if someone that I revere actually awards me a rank, I will take a sense of, I don't know, pride, I guess, or, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
You're just saying that you need to respect the person that gives you the rank, that's all.
Probably, yeah. I don't want the rank, and I don't hold any validity to the rank. But if someone that I revere says, look, I'm going to give you this rank, there's a certain amount of, not necessarily pride, but a sense of accomplishment to think that, okay, if that person thinks I did it, then maybe it is okay. Maybe my efforts did accumulate to something. You know what I mean? It's not a vanity thing, but there is a sense that there is something to be recognized by peers as at a certain level of accomplishment.
I've said this in a previous podcast, and I stand by it, and that was when I was first promoted to first degree black belt, like Shodan. I said to them, to the my instructor, if I don't deserve this, I don't want it.
Bob, I want to ask you a question about that. If the instructor or the individual who promoted you to that rank also promoted someone whom you felt absolutely did not deserve it, how would that perceive your perspective on your own rank? And this is the problem I'm having.
I understand you have a problem with that, but I think it's easy. That's an easily... I can't think of the term, but you would recognize if someone's being given it for whatever reason, and you can recognize that you achieved it. I don't think you would have to stand there and go, why is he getting it? Like, again,
No. Don't get me wrong. Let me just say one thing relative to that first, Len. I don't begrudge anybody their rank. I don't. If someone who is the head of a club or a style or whatever decides to promote somebody to whatever rank, fine. Godspeed. I don't care about other people's rank. I may not agree with it, but I don't care. Where it comes into my lexicon is when somebody says, I'm going to promote this person to that, and that person is clearly being promoted for reasons other than ability. Mm-hmm. How can I make my peace with the fact that that same person is promoting me as well? Because they're obviously demonstrating a willingness to promote outside of the scope of ability to whatever political or personal reasons they're promoting them. But I don't want to be promoted for any reason other than my ability. So how do I make peace with that?
It's a self-awareness. You don't have to make peace. You know what you've done. You know what you put through, and you accept that for that. And you don't have to worry about what anybody else gets accepted for anything else.
I had that exact situation, and the little rant I heard earlier on about the night of overweight instructors and so on. But I busted my ass for that grade that night. I mean, there was blood, sweat, and tears, literally. And to have, as I said, within a minute of you know, we've been told reluctantly we'd passed, for them to turn around to a guy who I knew hadn't even stepped foot on a dojo floor in years, to be told enough of that bullshit was the actual expression, and that was our grade that we dedicated the whole night to I'm here to promote such and such to fifth degree black belt, and this guy had overseen my grade. I stood in the changing room afterwards and I handed the belt to my sensei. I said, I do not want this.
Holy shit.
I don't want it. And there was a full half hour of fairly heated discussion before eventually, out of respect to my own sensei, he said, I am telling you, you deserve it. If you're willing to accept my opinion over all them, let's draw a line. And only on I walked away and said, okay. The upshot of it was, guys, within 2 to 3 years of that, I was convinced to kind of hold faith in it. And then there was a second incident when I got my third degree. A few weeks after that, I was asked to be the head of the organization we were in because we had the biggest club. And then the political party rallied and basically ambushed a showdown grade. And I eventually just walked away from the organization I was affiliated to. I said, no, stand alone. Good luck.
You know what, guys? I struggle often with my rank and with the worthiness of the rank. And the upshot of all of this conversation we've had tonight is, and I think Darren stated it so beautifully in podcasts past, rank above black belt is just bullshit, and who fucking cares? And I think that's how I need to perceive this. I'm going to say that I will perceive my worthiness of having a black belt as valid. Above that, there's so much politics and so much confusion and so much chaos and entropy and all of that, I can't give it any validation. I can't.
The way I used to judge it is, sorry, if I'm in a dojo and I can hold my own with everybody at that rank, then I consider myself at that rank. If I'm getting beaten by everybody at my rank, then I'm not at that rank.
The problem with that, Darren, is you're back to a comparative ranking. I'm better because I can beat everybody. But what if I'm at a shitty dojo where everybody sucks? So I can beat everybody at a dojo that sucks. Does that mean I deserve my rank? That's the problem.
That's a valid, definitely a valid point. You can be a big fish in a small pond.
Exactly.
You can be a big fish in a small pond, exactly, you go somewhere else, right, and you get your ass kicked, and it's like, holy shit.
Exactly. But can I go
around the table and ask, in karate, your chosen style, at what rank do you think you deserve? What rank do you deserve?
Oh, dear.
And
that's
and
hard.
Just state it. Just say it. Go.
You're choosing it. Go. Who's first?
I think third is appropriate. Mitch.
First.
First! Holy crap!
How could anyone say higher now?
Lenny.
I don't know. Because some weeks I walk in and say I'm a forced...
Not an explanation is the second time around!
Oh, sorry, okay. Okay, we're going fourth, so...
Darren.
I'm actually going to go with Sandan, and I will explain it during the second time around.
And, okay. Kyle!
Jesus. Yeah, I'll echo Darren Sandan, and I'll explain in the
echo
next time.
Echo Darren.
Around.
Okay. All
okay,
right,
Bob. So now you choose the order of who explains.
I forget the order, but me, I guess. It's a combination of what I could do at the time and how I thought about the techniques. That's all there is. I don't know how to put it into words more than that, but Mitch, go.
I said first, and the reason I said first is it's the only rank that I can honestly feel was given to me devoid of politics and anything other than my ability.
Wow. Darren.
I do understand exactly where Mitch is coming from. My only reason for picking my thing is that despite the age that I started with, I still ended up with a black belt at a relatively young age. I don't even know how old it was, 25 or something like that. But you're still kind of in your early stages of your physical abilities. And I think when you get a black belt, then there's going to be a lot of time trying to figure that shit out. And if you end up being awarded a neat end, then I think that puts you in a position where you can help other people to the rank of black belt and actually guide them through that. And that's my only philosophy of going up a rank in black belt level, is just the cliche of when you reach a black belt, that's kind of when you actually really start your proper training. I know it sounds ridiculous, but there is a certain amount of validity to that. So I think when you do reach that, there has to be somebody above you to kind of guide you into where you can go with the level you've just at. So I just feel that I've been in it long enough that I can do that. And that's why I want to put it above Shodan, just for the sake that I think I can guide other people that have just reached their black belts into their next level. So it's not a conceited thing or anything like that. It's just a knowledge that you can guide. And I think Mitch is coming at it from a different view. And as I said, I've never felt that I busted my ass to get to the next level, because I never had to test for it. But I still think that I can take somebody that just gets their black belt, I think I can take them to the next level after that.
Lenny.
Sorry, Bob, before you go to Lenny, Darren, I want to applaud what you just said. Thanks, Bob. Go on.
Yeah, I'm going to reassess what I said first, because that was purely from me being self-critical of myself. But if I look back at it, and look, what are my requirements for what I was supposed to achieve? In terms of doing a physical test on the floor, yeah, I did all three for up to Sandan.
And then can I just interrupt, just for the crack?
Yeah.
I can't remember how old Lenny is now. And I know, Mitch, I know you're in good shape, and Kyle, you're young and you're in really good shape. I'm willing to fucking bet that Lenny would run circles around both of us in any kind of marathon or any cardio thing. I'm not like saying anything against what you do, but this guy's just ridiculously good at cardio.
Right, Lenny runs marathons.
He's like the Nick and Nate Diaz of fucking karate.
where did that come from?
It's just what it is. Like when you're talking about like how much can you do and can you grade to the next level and everything, he's just in a position where he still can.
Oh, there's no. Look, I follow Lenny on Facebook. I have no illusions. But again, I don't care about comparisons. I don't care about this person.
That's a good point. Sorry. Yeah. I know that.
No, it's all good.
What I was saying was, I suppose at the start it was kind of, you know, my whole self-doubt of my ability, you know, it's kind of, I say, oh, just fourth degree. But, okay, to get to the third degree, Sandan at the mat, I had to do tests for it. So, yes, I accept that. Also, the caveat that went with them, particularly for a second degree, was I had to bring somebody from beginner to black belt standard, and I've done that with several students. Mm. And the third one was I had to run a school successfully for up to 3 years, and I've done that. So, yeah, okay, fair enough, Sandan.
Kyle.
Yeah, I would say so. Mine was Sandan. I've kind of just speaking on my own journey. Like there was no politics involved in my promotions. I guess a good way to put it. There was just like, you know, it was my first degree was at the Homebu. The second one was just with Mike. Like to Mitch's and Rick's and John's anger, who said they would be present for the second degree black belt. Mike just went ahead and did it, and they're like, "Oh, what the hell." And then the Sandan was with Jushin. So I felt like every single one of them was, like, if I look back, I can't say first, because when I look back at myself at 16, first degree black belt, there's just been so much growth, I feel. When I look at like myself then to where I am now, there's like Darren said, like I know I can lead people who have just gotten their black belt. I have a lot to show them to kind of get to their next level. So that's where I feel very comfortable with the rank I'm at right now.
Let's bring this one to a close. It's been a whole, wow. It's been a cavalcade of opinions. Bob, thank you very much for those questions. Those were awesome. Hey. And I really appreciate you bringing those to the table. Let's go once around the table. Last thoughts before we end this one. Let's start with Kyle.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on. I know it's hard to believe it's been a year. Like, I think I was on with Ryan on the tournaments one. It was good. I mean, it just forces you to think so much as you're going through, because you have an answer in your mind, and by the time it gets to you, it's, you know, your answer's changed probably three or four times to the question being given. So yeah, no, just thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure, Bob.
It's been exactly what it's always been. It's just a pleasure to think about this shit and get everybody's input and give mine. And I think it's all for the best. I think anybody who listens to this will actually benefit from it. It's not just us. And
oh dear.
So, oh good Lord.
Yeah. So it's great.
Lenny.
As always, thought-provoking and has, I've kind of made me kind of reassess my own position about six times tonight, and I still will. And like Darren always says, you go away from here, and you're thinking about it for hours or even a couple of days afterwards, and you're thinking, okay, Jesus, my head's in a mush. And then the next one comes around, and you're kind of champing at the bit to go again. And can I just say, there's four of us on here, we chew the fat every week. Great to have Kyle on. I hope we see a lot more of him over the next few months. And years, shall we say. And pleasure awesome. To meet you, Kyle.
Awesome. Yeah, same. Likewise.
I think, I don't think, like sometimes, as Lenny was saying, it's thought-provoking and you can go off and kind of reevaluate what you were thinking beforehand. I don't think I changed my opinions on anything tonight, but I think it was really interesting to hear other people's opinions and take them into consideration. And especially Kyle, again, like I think it was really refreshing just to have a not necessarily a different view, but just, I guess it is a different view, but I mean, any one of you guys could have a different view and that would be refreshing, but I think just coming from somebody else that's kind of new to the podcast, yeah. In a sense.
The more the merrier, just the more.
Exactly that. It could have been anybody.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, it could have been a monkey. I'm joking. I meant it was like because Kyle was supposed to be on last week and I think I missed the opportunity to talk to him and I appreciate that he was on tonight because I think the perspective was really cool, very articulate, very knowledgeable, and it was just entertaining. Again, like as I said, I didn't change my opinions, but I still welcome everybody else's opinion. And it still makes for a good debate and a good round table session.
I'll tell you guys, I had a serious epiphany tonight about ranks. Anyway, to speak to what Darren just said, the impact that these podcasts have on us individually, it's for us to say as individuals. I think it's a good thing to have the conversations. I think it's only a positive thing that we have these talks. I want to thank Monkey Boy for coming on.
anytime.
Seriously, guys.
Straight from Halliburton.
Kyle, honestly, thanks for coming on, man. I'd love to have you back on again. Thanks for being here.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
And as usual, thanks to Bob, Len, and Darren for coming on.
Mitch, before you do, can I just want to say to Kyle, yeah. And as I say to everybody, if Every's over Ireland way, there's an open door in my dojo all the time. So don't be a stranger. Hey.
Thanks, guys. Once again, any comments or questions, please post them to my personal Facebook page, the No Mind Podcast Facebook page, or drop an email to nomindpodcast2021@gmail.com. This has been one hell of a podcast. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you being here.
Wow.
Awesome.
Thank you.
We're done, guys. All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Okay. All the check marks are boxed. All the boxes are checked.
All the check marks kind of are like boxed.
Fuck you. And fuck you again.
Don't edit that, man. Leave that in there.
Leave that in.
Did you box those check marks? That's fucking awesome. All right. Carry on.
All right.